So Galatians 3 and from verse 10 through to 14. And what I'd like to do is to read it first of all from the NIV, which is the Bibles that are on the desk, and then I'd like also to read it from the Message. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it's written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it's written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And in the Message it reads like this: "So those now who live by faith are blessed along with Abraham who lived by faith." This is no new doctrine. And that means that anyone who tries to live by his own effort, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Scripture backs this up. "Utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law." The obvious impossibility of carrying out such a moral program should make it plain that no one can sustain a relationship with God that way. A person who lives in right relationship with God does it by embracing what God arranges for him. Doing things for God is the opposite of entering into what God does for you. Habakkuk had it right. The person who believes God is set right by God, and that's the real life. Rule keeping does not naturally evolve into living by faith, but only perpetuates itself in more and more rule keeping. In fact, a fact observed in Scripture, the one who does these things, that is rule keeping, continues to live by them. And Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the scripture that says, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree"? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. And now because of that, the air is cleared, and we can see that Abraham's blessing is present and available for non-Jews too. We are all able to receive God's life, his Spirit, in and with us by believing, just the way Abraham received it.
Do you have your Bibles open at Galatians chapter 3 and verses 10 to 14, which is our passage tonight. And they're quite complicated verses. We heard two translations of it. They're quite complicated at first hearing, but they address a very important but also quite a simple question, and that is, how do we get right with God? How do we get right with God? And that's a question and an issue that we've been thinking about for the last few Sunday evenings. What you hear tonight won't be much different, because Paul in these verses is continuing this important theme. He's continuing to tell the Galatians what he thinks and knows they must hear. Now, it's not just Paul and the Galatian church who think about how to get right with God. Lots of people think about that. I used to teach religious studies and philosophy, and a lot of that was thinking about how different religions and people have answered that question. So Hinduism might say that we get right with God through doing certain things. Islam says that we get right with God doing other things, following the five pillars or something like that. There are some philosophers who have come up with ways to get right with God. Other people say that doing good things like charity work or helping the environment will get you right with God. And there are other people who say that going to church or supporting Christian work will get you right with God. In fact, throughout history, there have been a fair number of people who've been trying in lots of different ways to get right with God, to get in God's good books, to meet God's requirements, to make themselves good enough for God. For lots of people, it's turned into the mission of their lives. It's what they try to do every day, to get right with God. And the Bible says that that is really important. It is important to get right with God. Because if we're not right with God, then we can't know him. And to know God is the best thing for humans. And it's also the way that we can have eternal life. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 3. He said, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who we have sent." So the question is, how do we get right with God? Well, I think you can basically bring it down to two ways that you can try. There are two paths that people have started out on. And verses 10 to 14 talk about both of these. Hopefully you'll start to understand the activity we did earlier. Alex, do you have that one? Can you put the first one up? Brilliant. And the second one as well. This is cheesy PowerPoint stuff, sorry. The first path that people take is to try to make themselves good enough for God. To try to make themselves good enough for God, to do it themselves. And the second is to just believe, to just have faith that only Jesus, through his death, can save us. So there you go, that is really cheesy PowerPoint. Just number one, try to do it ourselves, and number two, to have faith in Jesus. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to have a quick look at both of those paths, both of those options, to see whether they work. So the first one was for us to try to find a way to make ourselves good enough for God. And this is the one that lots of religions and different people have tried. In these verses, Paul talks about the law, the Old Testament law, and people trying to get right with God through obeying that. Now, the law was given by God. If you think about the Ten Commandments, given to Moses by God. And yet, in verse 10, Paul says, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. Now, that's a bit surprising, isn't it? So if God gave the law to the Jews, how can those people who rely on the law be under a curse? Some of the answers given in the second part of the verse. It says, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." That's a quote from Deuteronomy, which is one of the long books at the start of the Bible, filled with rules and laws from God. It's quite hard to read. But right in the middle of all those commands, it says this: "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything that is written in the book of the law." So God gave the Jews the law, and he wanted them to obey it. But he also wanted them to know that if they got just one thing wrong, then they were stuffed. They were in trouble. Why? Well, because God is a perfect and holy God. And that means that even one sin, one act of disobedience, is too much. So, is there anyone who has never done anything wrong? Is there anyone who has never broken any of God's commands? Let's look at some more words from Jesus. Alex, if we can get it. Brilliant. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself." That was Jesus' summary of the Old Testament law. It's quite simple, isn't it? Love God with everything you have, all the time, and always put other people first. I don't know about you. I know I've broken those commands. I know I've probably broken those commands in the last few minutes. No one has been able to keep them. No one in the world. Over the summer, Becky and I were on holiday, and the campsite we were staying at had a pool, and it was quite hot, and so I thought I'd go for a swim. I forgot that I hadn't actually done any proper swimming for about 15 years, and 15 years ago I was rubbish. So, as I got into this pool and struggled, I was overtaken by a five-year-old girl. And that was quite embarrassing. Now, if you put me in the local swimming pool with the captain of the Letchworth swimming team, I'm sure there is one, I would lose by quite a long way. And if we invited, I think it's Michael Phelps, who won loads of gold medals in Beijing in swimming, then he would have finished before I'd even got in the water. But what would happen if all three of us took part in a race, a swim across the Atlantic, from Ireland to New York? I would probably drown quite quickly. Michael Phelps would get, he'd do okay, get a few miles out. But ultimately, none of us would get anywhere near getting to America. And that's a picture of how far away from reaching God's perfect standard we are. Some of us might try to be a bit better than others, do more good deeds, but ultimately, even the best person, even the person that does the most good deeds, is a long, long way away from God's standard. They're going to miss the target by a long way. If you simply try to follow God's commands, if you try to be good enough for him, then you will fail. If you try to lead a perfect life, always trying to help people, always giving money to charity, always thinking good thoughts, at some point you will muck up. I'm sure that's our experience. And verse 10 says that you are under a curse. So what is this curse? Well, it means that God needs to punish you. It means that you are under God's judgment because you have sinned and because God is a holy God. So suddenly, this path, our first path, of trying to please God with all the good things we do, it doesn't look too good, does it? Alex, you mind going on the next slide? So why did God send the law then? The Bible says that the law is actually very, very good at showing us how rubbish and sinful we are. And if we realise that, then we should realise that we need help. No other ordinary human is going to help us, because they're all just as simple as we are. No, we need God to help us. And that's what God did by sending a saviour. Why did Jesus have to die? What we're thinking about. So let's look at the second path, and that is to have faith in Jesus to save us. Now this path involves something that humans are not very good at doing, and that is to accept that we can't do it. We can't get right with God on our own. It flies in the face of all those self-help books you see, or where they try and encourage you to do it yourself. The Bible says that all we do is to have faith in what Jesus does. Look at the second half of verse 11, where it says, the righteous will live by faith. So, what did Jesus do on the cross? Let me read verse 13 for us. Do look down at it. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So, Christ Jesus redeemed us. That means that he saved us. He brought us back. And he saved us from the curse. Isn't that great? Isn't that fantastic news? But even more amazingly, he did it by becoming a curse. Those are amazing words. Jesus became cursed for us. And that means that Jesus took all our sins and he then took our punishment. The Bible says that he was made sin for us. It's as if he had committed all of our sins. And God looks at him instead of us. And the punishment, the judgment that should have been ours, goes to him. I was once in a training session for emergency services personnel where we were told how to respond if someone was drowning in a river. And we were told, don't go into the water yourself if you can help it. Which is really good advice for me, given how terrible at swimming I am. They said, find one of those life rings, or find a rope, or find something you can throw into the water. Get help. Don't put yourself in danger. And Jesus' rescue is nothing like that. It's as if Jesus goes to the person in the water and he says, okay, you go on the bank and I'll drown. Jesus took the punishment that should have been ours. So if you have faith in Jesus, he takes the punishment and you can be saved. And then you can be right with God and you can even receive God's Holy Spirit. Now that's in verse 14. So these are the two paths. These are the two paths. And what I want to do is to think about how they apply to us tonight. If you're not a Christian, then you need to be really clear that the Bible says that everyone has fallen short of God's perfect standard. That everyone has sinned. And the Bible says that everyone is facing God's judgment for that sin, for all the bad stuff they've done. But I hope it's clear that Jesus offers a way out. In fact, he offers the way out. He is God's rescue plan. He is the saviour. So, are you on one of those roads? If you're not a Christian, are you trying to get right with God by doing lots of stuff you think is good? Or do you see the need to simply put your trust in Jesus? The roads and the consequences of the roads are very clear. We saw this in our activity earlier. They have different consequences. The consequences of these roads, one is under the curse, and one leads to eternal life. One is a dead end, and one is a whole new start, a whole new life with the God that created you and loves you. But how does it apply to us if we are Christians? Because Paul is writing to a church. He's writing to people who would call themselves Christians. And if you are a Christian, then at some point you will have put your faith in Jesus to save you. But Paul isn't only addressing how you become a Christian. He's talking about living as a Christian. I think those were the points that Andy was talking about a couple of weeks ago. How you begin as a Christian and how you continue as a Christian. You see, there were some in the Galatian church that were going around telling the Christians, hey, we know that Jesus has saved us, but to stay as Christians, we need to be doing some other stuff. It's like saying, hey, Jesus, thanks. Thanks for saving me. I knew I couldn't do that myself, but I can take it from here. You don't need to worry. And Paul says to the Galatians, how stupid are you? Jesus died to free you from the curse, to make you right with God without you doing anything. All you do is have faith to accept what Jesus has done. You don't save yourselves. God does. But now you Galatians want to go back under the law, back under the curse, back trying to stay right with God in our own efforts. You're going back to that struggle to do it all yourself and failing. Jesus has done it, says Paul. Jesus has made you right with God. Jesus makes you right with God. You don't need to do anything. Imagine that as we were sitting here, some of the sound equipment exploded. Now, given that all my amps were off eBay, and they cost about £20 between them, that's very likely. And imagine that the whole building was set on fire, and we were trapped. But then the heroic men and women of the Hearts Fire and Rescue Service kicked in the windows, put ladders up, kicked in the windows, and rescued us. The building was still on fire, but we were a little bit over there, and someone had brought blankets and tea and stuff, and we were recovering. Sitting there recovering, we'd been rescued. Suddenly, someone looks over to the building and shouts, only to see Andy Mathers climbing up a ladder, trying to get back into the building. Okay, this building's probably on fire. And we shout at him, we scream at him, and then one of the firefighters goes to try and grab him. Okay, how stupid would that be? How foolish would Andy be to be rescued from a burning building only to try and climb back inside? To be rescued from being trapped only to try and be trapped again. But that's what the Galatian Christians were in danger of doing. Jesus had died to save them, because all their efforts to please God, to get right with God through doing good stuff, were never going to work. They'd been under the curse. They'd been under God's judgment. But they'd been rescued. But rather than continuing to trust Jesus, to believe that they were right with God, that they would always be right with God because of Jesus, They were going back to the law. They're going back to trying to to satisfy God through their own efforts. They were switching paths back again. And Paul says, they're foolish. So what would this look like in practice if we were like that? There are lots of things we should be doing as Christians. Lots of great things. Reading our Bibles and praying, giving to our church, giving our time at church, getting baptised, living a morally good life, telling people about Jesus, helping those in need, and lots of other things. But we should be doing them in response to what Jesus has done, doing them to serve God. But if we start thinking that those things are going to be keeping us as Christians, that we have to do them in order to stay right with God, that's where we start going wrong. So here's the issue. What is your confidence in as a Christian? How do you know you're going to heaven? How do you know that God loves you? If it's because of the faith that you have in Jesus, that Jesus died for you, that he has saved you, that's all that God wants. If it's anything else at all, then you're saying to God, I can deal with some of this myself. I don't need all of Jesus' sacrifice. So the challenge tonight is, which path are you on? I think the passage is clear that whether you're a Christian or not, these verses show that there is nothing more important than putting your complete faith in Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much that even though we had turned against you and could never have saved ourselves, that the Lord Jesus died to bring us back into relationship with you. Father, please help us to remember that, to trust in that, and to have confidence in Jesus alone. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.